Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Nintendo Fanboys. And if you've been paying any attention, this is our first podcast in probably 3 years. So Steven's with me. We purposely decided to ditch Tim. Why? Because we're monsters.
It's also like 7 o'clock his time right now.
No excuse.
You know, whatever. I'm sure he'll be mad.
But it's actually just, like,
we did this. We had no time to prepare like usual. We haven't done one since March, for those keeping track. Jared has been basically, he mentally checked out. Like he did a video last week, the first video he did since March. And I don't think he even took a look at the replies. Tons of people sent you happy birthdays and comments.
So basically I get the notifications. But for the last, ever since COVID hit, my life is over. Seriously, I have never been more busy than I am right now. And I've finished my MBA and I'm more busy than I ever have been. But I want to talk very quickly, if it's cool, during our segment, you know, like what you've been playing and whatever, I actually have something really cool I wanted to talk about. So can I steal like 5 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Ahmed and I, maybe 3 years ago, seriously, like a long, long time ago, we were chatting about retro stuff, and there was a console, which I'm sure you know because of Nintendo Life, but there was a console that was supposed to come out, and the whole concept behind it was that it was going to be a modular console. So the idea was that you would be able to have like a base unit and it would play like PlayStation games, TurboGrafx-16 CD games, stuff like that. And then you'd be able to eject the front portion, physically remove the front portion of the console and then plug in a cartridge like module. And then that would allow you to play Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, so on and so forth. Okay. And Ahmed and I just loved the concept because if you're a fan of retro gaming, digital just isn't working. It's just not working. And what I mean by that is that like so many amazing retro games just aren't available anywhere. And it's super freaking annoying if you're a fan of certain classics. And then every time the big console makers decide that they're going to go ahead and update their system to, you know, the new Nintendo Switch, whatever they decide to call it, the PlayStation 5, the Xbox One Series X, so on and so forth, you basically almost start from scratch all over again. Now, I know that's not always the case, but the truth is that there are so many retro games that the licenses are just lost, right? Like, they're gone. If you want to play GoldenEye today, well, like, good luck. Short of emulation, like, it's just not possible due to so many different, rights and licenses and yada yada. Anyways, this console, which is called the Polymega today, was very interesting to the both of us. So we pre-ordered this ages ago. And the reason why I pre-ordered it primarily was because it was the first time that there was a retro console that did near perfect Saturn, essentially emulation. Originally, this console was supposed to use like hardware emulation instead of software emulation, but what they did instead is they moved to, due to complexity and everything like that, they moved to software emulation, but they increased the number of systems and a whole bunch of other stuff that like it would be compatible with. And so anyways, after a couple of years, and I'm not joking, after a couple of years, I just thought this was just, you know, like one of these scams, right? Like one of these, like this is never going to really happen. But about like 8 months ago or something like that, they started to ship out beta units to people. And you can see videos on YouTube from like, I think it was like March or April, something like that. Anyways, whatever. They set out some test units. I think it was last year, though. I'm pretty sure it was last year. And the reviews were excellent. People were floored. So the base unit allows you to play Sega Saturn, Sega CD, PlayStation 1, TurboGrafx 16 CD and Super CD and all of those, as well as Neo Geo CD. For Neo Geo CD, it completely removes the load time, and for every single platform, including cartridges, it allows you to do ROM dumps. So what do I mean by that? Well, it doesn't play ROMs, okay? And they made it very clear it will never play ROMs. That's not... So you can't buy, like, an EverDrive, slap it in this thing, and expect it to work. It won't. It you must have the original cartridges and stuff in order to save the game to the system. But I thought that was very intriguing, because you could essentially take all of your PlayStation games, all of your Sega CD games, and so on and so forth, and save them directly to the hardware. And it would basically become your one-stop shop for all your retro needs, and you would never have to worry about your CDs dying on you. And if you are a retro gamer, that is a very real problem that exists right now, where a lot of these old CD games are starting to get what's called CD rot, and they just stop working. So I loved this concept where I could put in, you know, like Metal Gear Solid, and it would save it to the hardware, and then I could play it whenever the hell I want, and it comes with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a modern day console, you know, 1080p output and all of that stuff. And it's even so advanced that it even uses solid state drives. Like, you can upgrade the internal memory to solid state, which I was shocked. So anyways, all this to say that my beta unit actually arrived. I was shocked. I totally forgot about this thing. To be honest, I just like totally forgot about it. But now, what I really am, I'm actually really excited about this, because it allows me to basically, essentially, ROM dump all of my Sega Saturn games on here. And so, you know, once the COVID situation like starts to die down and I can actually, you know, breathe again, it's actually realistic that I could easily record HD Sega Saturn videos again, which is something that I did not think would be possible for a long time just because of how cumbersome it is. But now I can actually just attach the system directly to my desk and have it as the one-stop shop for all retro content, which I thought was, I mean, kind of cool, no?
Yeah, that's amazing. It's like when my my Saturn games, when I couldn't play them on my Saturn, I'm guessing I would have been able to play them here, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you can play it directly on the disc. You can play it directly like from the disc if you want, or you can install the game. It's up to you.
Yeah, it's just that, like I said, when I had my Saturn there before I gave everything to you, either the Saturn had problems or the disc had problems where yeah. I went to a certain point in a certain game where it would always crash. Or imagine if I dumped the game on that system, that wouldn't be an issue anymore. And the fact that the Neo Geo CD doesn't have load times, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, man, honestly, I'll be very honest, I have not had a chance to do this myself, okay? Like to try anything, I have not. But Nintendo Life actually did a review on the beta unit. I guess they got theirs at the same time as me. And the review, if you haven't had a chance, you could watch it. I think it's like 10 minutes or something. Really goes in depth. And it's a beta unit, which is fantastic, meaning that the feedback that we give, they're actually incorporating. And apparently, like Nintendo Life was saying, that they've already done 2 firmware updates to improve certain games' emulation and stuff. So very cool. Honestly, I haven't been like this pleasantly surprised by like a product in a very long time. So yeah, very cool. So what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, it's hard to go back all the way since March, because recently I'm actually kind of in the middle of, I haven't played really much lately. I kind of have been watching shows on Netflix and watching hockey and stuff like that. So I did, a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, tried Ni No Kuni and played about 20 hours of that. Was really liking it, but I think I reached the maximum time I'm going to allow to that game. It's pretty cool. It's not exactly what I'm looking for right now. I find that the side quests are more interesting than the actual game, and there's a lot of like grinding and stuff that you keep doing, and it's something that if I would have been in the right mood, probably would have enjoyed a lot. But 20 hours is, I think, is what I'll end up playing.
Steven, you chopped out just for me there. I don't think for anyone else. What game?
Ni no Kuni.
Okay, sorry. Okay, yeah, all right. Yep.
And then I played Paper Mario a bit. It's funny because I don't think the video is up right now, but it's you sent me two games for my birthday that I already had.
Oh boy, here we go.
One which was Paper Mario, and I think you've probably finished it by now, right? You told me you were at the end or almost.
Yeah, so dude, Paper Mario, like, go through that game. Or at least tell me what you don't like about it, because I was shocked at how well the writing is. Like, shocked. Like, I was actually laughing out loud at certain scenes, and I almost cried at one. And I'm not joking. Like, the writing is superb.
Okay, well, that's good. I only finished the first world. And the thing is, I hate the battle system, man. It's just, especially since you always have to do battles and there's not that much of a reward for them. It's just coins, which I guess can be useful, but it's like you don't like get experience and stuff like that. So, and then you explore a lot and then you come back and you need to do, you can try to run away, and I do sometimes successfully, but it's just, I hate that damn puzzle wheel stuff there. It just, not for me, and it's a huge part of the game. And in the boss battles, it's, I don't know. That's my big turnoff for the game right now. It's that.
Well, that's fine. No, and believe me, it's totally understandable. I was really hoping that they would do something to spice up the battle system, because I find myself as well, like, it's just very monotonous. And the fact that you don't, like you said, there's no real reward for doing the battle short of getting coins, which then the coins you use to either buy items or whatever, or you use to solve, like the toads will solve the puzzle for you. But I finished the game with more coins and more items than I knew what to use. Like, if I don't know if I'm making sense, but yeah. Basically, like, I had maxed out, like, all of my mushrooms, all of my fire flowers, all of my Takuni or whatever it's called, tail, and it was just pointless. Like, all that crap was pointless because I didn't need it to finish the game.
Yeah, that's my main problem, because I don't mind battling in RPGs and then getting XP, so you get rewarded even though you're doing the same thing again, when in this case, it's not, and I'm having troubles with the puzzle. Sometimes the puzzle will click right away, and like I was in the first world, and I'm not sure. Do you need to use the toy coin sometimes, or the puzzles are always?
Say that again. Do I need to use what?
The coin sometimes for Toad to help you. Is it necessary sometimes to get the puzzle?
I don't think it's necessary. Okay, so then, like, I use it all the time.
Yeah, I do, because
call in. I don't know what the hell, like, my brain, I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's some puzzles that seem unsolvable, and I was in the first world, so I'm like, maybe you need to use those coins. And but I'm like, I would understand if by the second or third world I use those coins, but now I'm like in the first world and I can't solve these puzzles, so I'm guessing that it's going to be much harder than that. So that's what I don't know. That's a problem. I don't know what they were thinking with this battle system. It's like,
yeah, I don't know, weird. Dude. And like, that was my biggest gripe. I mean, since we're talking about the game, my biggest gripe was that the reward just wasn't there, but I adored the writing. Like, seriously, I think Second World is pretty powerful. And then what happens after, all the little Easter eggs and stuff like that are just amazing. Like, seriously, this is a love letter to the Nintendo universe, if we call it that. Like, and of course, in particular, Mario. Like, there's so many references, and I love, like, at times they break the what is it called, the third barrier, fourth barrier,
the fourth wall
or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, it's hilarious. Like. They'll say, like, what kind of person jumps this much, you know, or something like that. Like, after you do this, like, crazy thing of jumping all over the place. And, like, the little character, I forget her name now, but the main character that's with you, she can be hilarious sometimes in the way she references other things. She's like, well, aren't those the bad guys? Why are we working with them? And, you know, like, why is Peach, like, always getting captured. You know, like, all these sorts of, like, little jokes that I thought were brilliant. But I agree with you. Like, if I was reviewing the game, I wouldn't actually give this a very high score, because what you do more than anything is the battle system, and it's kind of boring.
Yeah, so I might give it a second shot there. I bought this and because my kids love Mario, so they like playing this game, and as soon as they get into a battle, they give me the remote. So it's like they make me do the boring stuff. So I'll see what happens then. Also, well, since we're at it, in June I played the Pokemon DLC, which I thought was fantastic. Really loved it. It added like 50 hours of gameplay for me. But that's been a while, so I don't really remember all I had to say about it. But I thought it was really fantastic. And I think the November DLC will be even better than that, will be even meatier, so I can't wait for that. I'm hoping we get one more. There's rumors that we might get a third DLC, like maybe in January or February, just hold us until the obvious November release that we're going to get next year, which will probably be a remake of Gen 4. So really glad about that. Really like that DLC. And also played Last of Us 2. Have you played it?
I'm really not joking. Yeah, please.
I'm gonna wait for you because I want us to do a spoiler cast on that game. I have so much to say on that game, so I'm gonna leave it at that. Hopefully, you'll play it soon because there's a lot to talk about. And that's pretty much it. I don't think I've really played much since, I played Animal Crossing. I guess we haven't talked about that game since that was in March. Our last podcast was, I think, the week before Animal Crossing was released, and so that's been that long. So I've played that, I think 150 hours of that, and I think you actually played it more than me. The last time I looked at your profile, it was fun. I really liked it, but it's not as much fun as I had with New Leaf, simply because after the first month of Island. New Horizon. After the first month of New Horizon, my island was complete. Like, I had everything I needed. I had the 5 stars. I had every shop. And that was my biggest issue. And, of course, they keep these small updates every month that sometimes are better than others. But in New Leaf for the 3DS, it took me over a year to get all the shops and stuff like that. So there was always a reason to play. In this one, the only reason is at the beginning of each month, I'll catch all the bugs, and August took me, I had all the new bugs and fish and sea creatures on the first day because there wasn't that much, but July took me like a week, and that's it. And then I sometimes go in once a week or twice a week to clean up the mauvaise herbe, the grass thingies.
All the weeds.
I clean up the weeds, and I used to every day look to see if Red was in town, and then disconnect, but now I don't even bother to check that anymore. I don't think I'll ever complete that art collection because he's here like once every 2 weeks. Sometimes you get lucky and you get him twice or three times a month, but it's really rare. And then you have to hope that you get at least one new art item in there that you don't have, so it's gonna take forever. So
I gave up on that.
I haven't played in weeks, and basically New Leaf I played every day for like a year almost. So And there's a lot of love for that game. If you like terraforming and stuff like that, good for you. But for me, I really like the fact that there's only one shop upgrade so far. That was a huge disappointment for me. That was something I really adored. Like, most Animal Crossing games have at least three. I think New Leaf had 4 shop upgrades, and this one doesn't have any at all. And you don't even have the recycle shop that you had in New Leaf where you could sell your own items. So it's, I don't know. It's kind of a disappointment for me, but then again, I played it for 150 hours. But compared to New Leaf,
clearly it's garbage.
Yeah, compared to New Leaf, which I put like close to 500 hours. It's just I didn't like it as much as New Leaf, to say the least.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I find like there was so much potential with this, and I just find that even the features, like when we visit each other's towns and stuff like that, like there's no like little discotheque thing that we can go out
we
to.
We can't
like,
even go to it, the we used to go to the, those islands together where we, there was mini games or just island itself, and we can't do any of that anymore.
That's
I can't even
exactly.
send mail to your villagers when I go to your place, which was my the thing I love the most to do. I can't even do that anymore because I would send crazy mail and then your villagers would talk to you and you would see
that's right
what I
yeah
I
exactly
said, and you can't do that anymore. So
no, exactly. And so like those features for me are tremendously disappointing because it's like there's no like what am I going to do, right? Like my village is done. I finished my village, I've terraformed, I did what I wanted to do. So you come over, literally all you're going to do is either, you know, mess up my stuff or like maybe hide some of those, I forget what they're called, to make me fall there.
Pitfalls.
Pitfalls. Or you're going to buy a couple of items. That's literally all you can do. Like there's like nothing, you know. And so because of that, like I got out of that so quickly. Like it was just no point. It's like, well, why am I going to go to your village? Like there's literally nothing for me to do. So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I barely play at all anymore, to be honest. Steven gave me for my birthday, which I'm sorry guys, I haven't had a chance to comment on. My like I'm not joking, my time is gone now. But anyways, he gave me what is it, New Story Lucky's Tales?
New
like
Super
that?
Lucky's Tales.
New Super Lucky's Tales. Okay. If you like 3D platformers, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Very little challenge until you unlock the, like if you get all the pages, that's basically like the stars from Super Mario 64. It's, but if you get all of them, you will unlock basically like, it's basically like 16 challenges that you can go through. That makes it certainly harder, but this is like a kid's game type of thing. It's not something that you're not gonna die very much. Like I finished the whole game, I think I had 65 lives left or something crazy. So you're not gonna sweat it too much, but it's a great game. I'll be honest, it actually, like I was looking for something because like Animal Crossing was like getting, you know, really boring, like basically, especially this month, like there was like what, two fish and like a bug or something to get, like it was pathetic, like there was nothing to do for August, and I don't have much time, like I said, so I'm looking for stuff that I can just pick up and play, you know what I mean, like maybe a bit for before bed or wake up and I got like 15 minutes or something like that. That's what I've been doing, and so this was the perfect game. It was seriously the perfect game. And now I'm actually kind of looking, I'm in the mood for something else. I just don't know what. I'd mentioned before, like I was really looking for Luigi's Mansion 3, but without the inverted controls, and I doubt they've updated them in.
They have not.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not really, you know.
It's like, a fun really game. It's a fun myself. Game. It's not as... The problem is I don't think it's as fun as the original or the second one, but then you add the fact that you can't invert the controls. It's really hard, especially if you're looking for something and don't have much time. You might want to go with something else, since like inverting controls, like for me, was a big deal, and I know it is for you too. So pretty sure there's a better option there. And I'm glad you liked the Fox game, because I was looking at... I wanted to get you a new game or a recent release, and I think that game was maybe released. I think it was released this year. I'm not sure. Maybe it was released in September of last year. Whatever. I knew it was a recent release. I knew you probably did not know what it was. So, and I looked at the
No, it was perfect. Seriously, thank you.
I looked at the recent releases, and it was either that or Xenoblade.
You made the right. Yeah, the remastered
of the original, and I know you liked that game. You and Ahmed played that game for like hundreds of hours, but then I was like, in your current setup, I don't think you'll have time to play it.
No. You made the right decision.
Yeah.
Man.
So that Fox game, I said, if he tries it, sometimes you don't. If he tries it, he'll probably enjoy it and finish it. So I'm glad you did. How many hours around did it take?
I don't know. It's only been 7 days.
Okay.
Or 8 days or something. So
about, I don't know, about 12, 15, you'd say, 20 maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe something like that. I'll let you know. I'll let you know when I think I have another couple of days to go there before I can check. I can't believe Nintendo never updated that stupid feature, but whatever.
So anyway.
But no, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you liked it. I would have liked to have gifts that I could play, but... I don't know. It's like someone
doesn't pay attention
when I say, because I want to talk about this. I need to talk about this. I know you don't,
because the video,
you might not put it because you don't want a video of me making fun of you, you bastard. But it's like,
no, but you can post it yourself.
No, it's just, I need a thumbnail and I'm too, I don't know. I'm too retarded to know how to make a thumbnail apparently. The thing is, if there was only one clue in the gifts for some reason, which was a...
Yeah, but that wasn't me. That was them.
Yeah, that was them. But the clue was incorrect because you thought that Yoshi's Crafted World was a
remaster
of Yoshi's Woolly World. And the funny thing is that if you listen to our podcast, apparently you don't listen to me when I talk, which is not a shocker. Or you have like memory of a goldfish, because I've talked about that game in at least 3 podcasts. It was in my top 10 game of the years, either last year or the year before.
Hey, should I pick that up? Would that be a good game?
Yeah, that would
pick
be a good game. That's a good game, and it's a fun game, man. That one I really enjoyed.
Okay,
and it's like a 2D platformer. It's super easy, but like if you want to collect everything, it's just a good time. I really enjoyed that one, so that could be a good game for you. But so that clue didn't make sense, so I did not get that one right. But there was a clue that you texted me before that you noticed that I already had a game, so. I thought that you probably bought me... I thought you actually bought me Burnout Paradise, the remastered version of that, because I bought that for my son, and that's all he's playing lately. I haven't even touched it, but I know that, again, this wouldn't make sense, because I know I adored Burnout 3 Takedown on the Xbox, but I'm like, there's no way he remembers that. Like,
No.
So... I should have known it wasn't that one, but I thought maybe you would have thought that I would have enjoyed Burnout Paradise back in the day, but I never played that game. But so I thought maybe Paper Mario, and it was Paper Mario, the other game, which, like I said, I've already played. So anyway, that's...
Yeah, so for that one, I swear to you, I'm not lying. Like, I did not see that in your list. I must have overlooked it somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how you missed it, because it's...
I know, it would have been the first. It would have been one of the first games.
Yeah.
I know. And I flipped out, eh? Like, I totally lost my mind when I saw that. I was like, what the F? Like, I was actually pissed. Because it's like, you know, these games aren't exactly cheap, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, Jesus.
Yeah, but...
Anyways, I've got something else now, but... because I'm trying to do something nice. And you know what's really funny is like this Polymega thing. Originally, that was going to be one of the things, because it's so old, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's from years and years ago, that I would have done like something like that. You know, the other thing, the thing that I was trying to do, by the way, was the Analog Pocket, and that's what fell apart. So it totally fell apart. That was supposed to be your birthday gift.
What's that? It's like obviously it's a. Like a portable that can...
It plays all the different Game Boy games, but with all the modern day, like, amenities and stuff like that.
Cool.
Like, I just thought it would have been a cool gift for you, but I'm not going to get into it all here. I'll be talking for 20 minutes, but it just, like, totally fell
apart.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens, because you probably will forget about the gifts and stuff like that, because I want to talk about the game I think I'm going to play, because there's a game coming out in 2 weeks called Xenomon, or something like that. It's basically a Pokemon ripoff. But it's coming out on Switch, and I've been wanting a direct Pokemon ripoff for years now. Like something that's actually a Pokemon game, like that works with types, that's similar, that you catch Pokemon, that you don't actually, like in Ni No Kuni, it's so frustrating to get new, what are they called, familiars, because it's all luck-based, and I hate that. That's what I like about Pokemon, and I have not seen that in any other game besides Pokemon.
Nexomon?
Yeah, Nexomon. It's coming out like at the end of August on Switch. I think on the eShop, so I'm going to download that. I'm going to play that and see if it goes. It's apparently like a 20-hour game. It's a port of a mobile game, but it looks good. I don't think it will be a super fantastic game. It's probably like a 6.5 or a 7 on 10, but it's exactly the type of game I like. So I know I'll love it, and it's going to be a nice a way to kill time until like the next Pokemon DLC comes out. But until then, I'm thinking of trying Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. And I know this will lead you to talk about Curse of the Moon 2, which was why I wanted to talk this, because you probably forgot you played this. But Bloodstained Ritual of the Night was a game you were supposed to buy for me like last year. And
I did buy it. I never received it.
Yeah. Okay. So you kept telling me you were going to send it to me. And I said, no, he'll never do that. He probably forgot. And so I bought it. And I'm thinking of maybe starting it tonight or tomorrow or something like that soon. So that will be, hold me up, see if I like it, and then move on to Curse of the Moon 2 after that. So yeah, that's probably what I'm going to do. I haven't played Ritual of the Night yet. I actually had it pre-ordered last year. Then you told me you got it for me, so I canceled that. But now I'm going to play it and see how it goes. And it should hold me until Nexomon, whenever that releases. And then I'll try Curse of the Moon 2, because apparently it's very good. That's what you told me.
Yeah, it's very good, but I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one.
And
so, yeah. The first one, I don't know if it's the characters or the replayability, but yeah, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I didn't enjoy it as much as... It's not a bad game. It's fun. It's really good. It's just that, I don't know, maybe it's just me, so when you play it, let me know, but I didn't find it as enjoyable as the first. Maybe I'm totally nuts. You're gonna be like, it's the best game ever. For Ritual of the Night, I'll be very curious to hear what you say about that. I'll be very, very curious, because I mean, it plays very much like a Symphony of the Night clone, obviously. And I'm just looking at it on the site here, this Nezomon, or however it's pronounced, Nexomon. Yeah, it looks interesting. There's 300 of them from 11 elemental types, but that includes evolutions and stuff. But still, 300 is quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's like, from what I've seen, it's a game where you attack the dudes and then you throw, like, I don't know what the name is. It's not Pokeballs, but something that to catch them, which is what I want. I want to actually catch dudes and not have them join me by luck. So we'll see. It sounds cool. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. I'm going to be playing the Switch version, which is obviously the worst one, so...
Yeah, but apparently, it's from what patched, I hear...
It's been patched,
yeah. Yeah, a lot, significantly.
Who knows? And then yeah. Curse of the Moon 2. The problem right now is, I've noticed every time I play games like that, my skills, which were never really there to begin with, seems to lower every year. I dominated the first Curse of the Moon, like I kicked its ass, but I started by playing it on the easiest modes and eventually moved my way to the hardest mode and could kill that game and beat it like 11 times and had everything. And then like a few months after that, I tried the game just for fun and I could not for the life of me beat it. And it's like, what the hell happened to my skills? So that's what I'm afraid of with Curse of the Moon 2, is I don't think I'll have the time and patience to invest as much as I did with the original. So we'll see with that one. But Ritual of the Night, like it's a game. I like Metroidvanias. You can probably like gain XP and stuff like that. So if I'm struggling, I can grind a bit. We'll see. It seems like a game that could be perfect right now to tide me over to whatever next game I want to play.
No, I mean, give it a go and see. Like, I'll be very curious to hear your thoughts. I think with me, I don't know if it's skill or if it's... I don't know. I really don't know what it is. But I didn't enjoy the replayability as much as I did in the first one. Like, the first one I beat, like, 50 times or whatever, you know, how many times you had to beat it. Whereas with this one, I was getting tired. Like, by the end, I was really getting tired. I was like, okay, like, can we move on, please? Because it's, like, the exact same stages and stuff. And yes, you know, you have different powers and stuff, but it actually works in reverse. So, like, this one, you don't exactly, like, have an option of picking up or leaving guys behind. You'll see when you play. But it's, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm happy that they're making more. I mean, obviously it must be selling well if they're continuing to make them. So that's kind of cool. And every time I play one of these, it's just further compounding my missing of Metroid. Like I'm actually very like I miss Metroid, man. Like I miss that ambiance, the feeling of isolation and everything. And it sucks that, like, we just don't have another one. Like, I'm like, damn it, man. Like, just, you know, put a new one out. And I know we got Prime 4. It's coming out in 20 years. But it's like, hell, like, just release the collection. Like, obviously you have it ready to go. And I know that they'd want to do it closer to, like, build up hype and stuff. But I'm very much in the mood. I'm in the mood to play a new, like, a Metroid, even if it's not new.
Yeah, yeah, so do I. What did you think of the... I know I've talked about it a bit before, but what did you think of the Isle of Armor? I never got your thoughts on that.
It was terrible.
Terrible, eh?
No, not at all. No, very cool. It was too easy to get the Pokédex finished, but it was easy primarily because I had almost all of these Pokémon already.
Yeah, you played know, it after they patched it, I believe. Because when I played it, if you transferred the Pokemon in your party from home, they wouldn't register. You'd had to go to the daycare, put them in the daycare, and take them out. So I did not do that. I caught them organically and gave me a better excuse to play the game. But yeah, by the time you played it, I think they had patched it in where you could just put all the Pokemon from home in the game and it would register in your Pokedex.
Yeah, so, but it's okay. Like, it didn't matter. It was still, like, I loved the little guy. I thought that was good. I loved the story. I just loved the setting. I have a feeling, like you say, I think the next one is going to be much better in the context of it's all about exploring, right? Because I found the story to be a little bit, like, even by Pokemon standards, I found it to be a little bit simple. Like, it was just very, very basic of what you had to do. It was good. Like, I'm down for this. Like, if this is something the Pokemon Company wants to do moving forward, I'm cool with that.
Did you did you get all the Diglets and upgrade the dojo and all that stuff?
I did the Diglets. I'm missing the last one for the dojo because I don't have the time to farm the watts.
Yeah, it's like 3 million watts you need.
Yeah, I don't have
the time. Yeah, that one was the time. Like, the reward is, it sucks because they only give you like what's Honey's, what's the name of Mustard's wife? Is it Honey? I think it's Honey, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You get her rare league card, but you do get a bonus scene that's kind of the true ending of the DLC where you go on a date with her, which is weird because you're going on a date with a married woman.
A married
and
woman.
You're like a kid. But it's fun. It's a nice little... And obviously, for all the trouble that you need to do, it's not really worth it. But I thought it was cool to get that little ending there.
Okay, no, that's cool. It's certainly something I would have done. Like, under normal circumstances, absolutely would have been something I would have done. Because I like the characters. And what is his name? Zarude?
Yeah,
is that it?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I got the dual pack code. Well, there were two codes. Yeah. One for...
Shiny Celebi. What is it called?
Yeah, thank you. It's because I always think of Cerebi, the website, so I always screw that up. And then the Zarude. So I immediately, you know, gave him the Dynamax candies and I boosted him to level 100, but I haven't even used him yet.
Yeah, well, you should probably, like, give him vitamins before you do that, so, and stuff like that to make him competitive. But so that's what I did. I basically put all my... investments in his speed and attack and then one in HP and called it a day. It's a cool mythical. It probably will never be it might be actually in the next VGC rules. Like, usually legendaries and mythicals for the first year are not allowed in the official competition, but sometimes in the second year they are, so we'll see. But it's a pretty cool Pokemon, really very unique. It sucks right now that it's limited to Japan. But it's cool now that these codes are region free. Before, I don't think Japanese codes would have worked on a North American game, and now they do. So that's pretty good. And like, there was a few cool raids lately. One which was a shiny Pikachu, and the other one was a shiny Wailer, where you had like a few very limited odds. I actually never got them, unfortunately. Like, the Wailer was a... You had a 2% chance of getting a shiny Wailer in a 5-star raid.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and you had an 8% chance of getting a shiny Pikachu in a 5-star raid. both of which I never managed to find find one either in my game or online when I was looking at random raids. So tons of cool stuff. Not really much else to add here. I'm trying to think of stuff. This will be a short podcast, but don't really have that much to say.
Well, I think it's been mostly because, like, the two of us just, you know, like, if you haven't been playing much, you know, outside what we spoke about, and, like, for me, my my time's just been brutal, I think it, you know, it makes sense. I'm looking forward to finding out more, since this is a Fanboys, I'm looking forward to finding out more about what the hell is Nintendo doing, like, for the rest of the year. Do we know anything? Because it just seems like it's dead. Like, I know they announced Pikmin 3, but is there anything else coming out? And isn't Pikmin 3, correct me if I'm wrong, what console did Pikmin 3 debut on?
The Wii U.
It was the Wii, yeah. U? I thought it was the Wii, no. And then it got ported to the, okay, all right. Okay, so then that's okay. I don't know if I'm going to check that out or not.
Yeah, it's like, another Wii U port, which starting to get old, but yeah, I don't think they have. I would have thought maybe Breath of the Wild 2 would have been ready for this holiday season, but they haven't announced it yet. They haven't made a Nintendo Direct in forever. Well, a main one, they made a mini, but nothing. So I don't know. I don't even know what's coming out. Paper Mario just came out. And besides that, is there anything else? Like Pikmin 3, like you said, just will come out, I think, in October. I don't even sure. There's the second DLC for Pokemon. I don't think they have a big game during the holiday release. They usually have a big game for the holidays. They have nothing this year. So you guess that either something was delayed or...
Well, I mean, I know with COVID, right? Like a bunch of developers are having issues and stuff like that with that. And I kind of understand that. Like that makes sense to me. But I just think back to, like, what was it, last year or the year before, where it was like every month we had like something. Mm-hmm. And I just feel, and maybe it's me, right? Like with my schedule and stuff, maybe it's me, but I just feel like there's just not that much out right now.
No, you're
like, there was Paper
wrong.
Mario.
Yeah, Paper Mario was like, okay, was announced and then came out a few months after that, but they have nothing. Like I said, like maybe like a new Mario Party or new Mario Kart or anything. Like, Breath of the Wild 2, you would think, since they probably reused the same engine
assets. Yeah, like, yeah.
You would think that it would have a shorter development time, but it doesn't appear to be.
I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah, it's super weird. Like, and the fact, like you say, like there's been no like direct. It's I don't know. I'm really confused because like now, like I'm in the mood, right? But I'm gonna check out Yoshi. I'm gonna check that out, and I'll see. Maybe that'll be another like a good one to you know kill some time. kill some time. Yeah.
If you do, that's the wrong words. If you want to invest a bit more time in a game, you could check out Fire Emblem Three Houses too. That one was really good, but it is a more meaty investment since it's about a 40 to 50 hour game. You might not have the time for that because it's not a game you can play for 5 minutes at a time. So
that's the thing, babe. Alrighty, well, do you want to call it a day?
Yeah, sure.
All right, guys, so I'm not promising anything because every time I promise, we never do these, but I love doing this. I really do because Steven's the only connection I have to gaming. Either that or Tim's like texts I get once every 6 months of him just saying, hey, man, and then never following up. So I just get a hey. Which is hilarious. So I do miss this. That's the truth. I genuinely miss this. And I'm really hoping that in the next couple of days, I have the opportunity to try the Polymega. Because for someone like me, I love retro gaming. I always have loved retro gaming. That could be like my ultimate virtual console type of thing. And I just love the fact that I could put like Panzer Dragoon Saga, you know, like one of the holy grails of gaming, and I could just put it on there and I never have to worry about the disc scratching or not being able to play anymore and stuff. And that's kind of cool, you know? And like, I have a massive library of retro games, and I'm hoping that in the future they add support for like Dreamcast and stuff like that. There's no word yet on, you know, on how this will actually sell, obviously. But I do like, so far, I mean, more than any of the big boys even, I've never seen a company listen to their audience like this and make changes and fixes like instantly. And what's so cool is that this machine even allows you to take a USB stick with a patch, so like a text patch, and you can save the patch to a specific folder and have Japanese games in English, but all real. Like, it's not like you're playing ROMs. Well, you are technically playing a ROM, but you still need the original game, and I really like that. They're also going to be launching a digital store that allows developers and publishers to release their old games should they want. So I'd be very curious to see how this thing actually sells, because it does have a lot of potential, but we'll see. Hopefully I would love to be able to do a video of it, to be honest, because I think it'd be wicked.
Yeah, that'd be nice you to do actually videos. Yeah, sometimes
I know, imagine that for a YouTube channel, crazy. All right, everybody. So everybody take care and stay safe and be well in these very weird times we're living in, and go buy some chips. All right, everyone. Take it easy.